गुरु ओंकारा जय जय सद्गुरु ओंकारा ओम
जय गुरु ओंकारा जय जय सद्गुरु ओंकारा ओम
जय गुरु ओंकारा जय जय सद्गुरु ओंकारा ओम
जय गुरु ओंकारा जय जय सद्गुरु ओंकारा ओम
ब्रह्मा विष्णु सदा शिवा हर 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 महादेवा
ब्रह्मा विष्णु सदा शिवा हर 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 महादेवा
जय गुरु ओंकारा जय जय सद्गुरु
of the Lord and grace of Pujya Gurudev and blessings of Pujya Guruji, we are going to start a new text today, Drik Drishya Vivek. This also is a Prakaran Grantha, and other Prakaran Grantha are Sadhan Panchakam, which we have already seen. It gives 40 practices, 40 sadhanas. What is to be done, when is to be done, how it is to be done. From brahmacharya, grihastha, vanaprastha and sannyas. The whole journey is stated in that sadhana panchakam. What sadhana we should do, at what age. Next prakaran granth is tattvabodha. Tattvabodha is the book of definitions. All definitions are given there, and those definitions are applicable in Upanishad, in Bhagavad Gita, in Ramayana, Bhagavatam. Everywhere the same definitions will apply. And it has got a specific connotation, specific meaning, and that is applicable everywhere. Next is Atmabodh. In Atmabodh there are 68 verses. And each verse describes a concept, a principle of Vedanta, and it also gives an example, illustrates it, so that we can understand the whole concept. All concepts of Vedanta are summarized in 68 verses. Next Prakaran Granth is Upadesar. In Upadesar we have seen there are 30 verses. And we have seen the essence of four paths, Karma Yoga, Bhakti Yoga, Ashtanga Yoga and Jnana Yoga, covered in only 30 verses. This also is a Prakaran Grantha. Then Vivek Chudamani, it has got 581 verses, and there are 7 questions answered in that, and the questions are stated in verse number 49. 7 verses, 7 questions are there, and the whole Vivek Chudamani is the answer of those 7 questions only. Then Guruji has written Gyan Sar, 18 verses. That is a journey of a Baddha Jeev, a Jeev who is bound to liberation. 18 verses. We will be taking up that Gyan Sar in our summer session. In 8 lectures, we will cover Gyan Sar. Panchadasi is also a book of elementary. It has got 15 chapterswritten by Vidyarana Swami. There are different opinions about the authorship of this book. Earlier it was said that the Adi Shankaracharya has written this book, but the style, the words do not match with the other books of Shankaracharya, so it is reputed it is not written by Shankaracharya. Guruji has written about Shankaracharya in detail, and which we have seen in our Sadhana Panchakam class also. One full hour was given for Shankaracharya about his birth and about his age, how he worked in 32 years, everything he completed, how he got the sannyas at the age of 8, then Kanakdhara Stotra, the wonders that happened, how he reached his mother at the last point of time, how he established 4 mathas, Sringeri Math, Dwarka Math, Puri Math and Badrinath Math. He travelled whole India 3 times by foot. This we have seen in detail. But some others say it is written by Vidyarana Swami. Vidyarana Swami, who is the author of Panchadasi. There also there is a dispute. Some say no, it is not written by Vidyarana Swami. It is written by his guru Bharati Tirth. Some say it is jointly written by Vidyarana Swami and his guru Bharati Tirth. Brahmananda Bharati, in his commentary, he has written commentary on this text, and he has written that this text is written by Bharati Tirth, guru of Vidyarana Swami. And people accept that. He is the true author. But nothing much is known about Bharati Tirth. We know about Vidyarana Swami. Vidyarana Swami was a Vyakaranachara, Ayurveda Acharya, he was a great politician, a great spiritualist. And this Vijayanagaram was taken over by Mughals. He was the person behind the Harihar and got back the kingdom and made it Hindu Rajya once again. In his spiritual discourses, he used to teach even the many artillery equipments and all that, dhanurvidya, this and that, lot of things he used to know. He was a superman, great politician. And when Harihar became the king of Vijayanagaram once again, he became the prime minister of that state. Later on, he became Shankaracharya of Sringeri Math also. That was from the year 1377 to 1386, he was Shankaracharya of Sringeri Math. But about his guru Bharati Tirth, nothing much is known. But we can estimate, if the Sishya is like this, how was his guru? The content of the book is very methodical, very deep, and it is systematic unfoldment of the truth. We will find in the first verse itself, it takes you to the truth. first verse itself is so deep. The name of the book is suggests that Drik, Drishya Vivek. Drik means seer, one who is seeing. Drishya means the seeing, whatever we are seeing. Drik, Drishya Vivek. We have to discriminate between the seer and the seen. And we have to come to the finally, who is the ultimate seer? The author will take us from one step to another and we will reach the truth. Another name of the text is Vakya Sudha. Sudha means nectar, Vakya means Mahavakya. Vakya Sudha. All Mahavakya tell one thing. Mahavakya doesn't mean it's a big sentence, long sentence. No. All sentences are very small, but they are Mahavakya. Why it is they are called Mahavakya? Because all of them state that the Jeev and Brahma is one. All Mahavakya says only one thing. Jeev and Brahma is one. Jeev and Brahma is one. Mahavakya. All beings have intellect, but humans have got the most developed intellect. Animals also, they have the intellect, but their intellect is not that developed. They can discriminate between what is eatable and what is not eatable. They cannot discriminate between gross and subtle. They cannot discriminate between dharma and adharma. It is only humans, they have got the most developed intellect and they can discriminate between dharma, adharma, gross and subtle. But what we have done throughout our life, we have also discriminated, but we have discriminated between two gross things only whole life. We have not discriminated between gross and subtle. We have discriminated between two anitya things, two unreal things. Whether I should buy this house or that house, both are unreal. Both are temporary. But we never discriminated between what is real and what is unreal. Real is only one thing, and that is Atman and Brahman. Other than Atman and Brahman, everything is unreal. Now you can find out, did you ever discriminate between Atman and Anatman? No. We always discriminated between two Anatman vastus. Continuously throughout our life we have done. To discriminate amongst the emotions, different emotions, that is more difficult. Anger, jealousy, greed, it's more difficult because it is subtle. Gross is easy to discriminate, but when it comes to the subtle things, it is more difficult. Why Vivek is needed? People are suffering. We have to find out what is its cause. When we commit any mistake, we suffer. Simple law. If we miss one step, we fell down. Is it not so? Immediate suffering. A boy fell down from the staircase. His father asks, did you miss any step? He said, no, I didn't miss any step. I hit all steps. Voilà. So whenever we commit a mistake, the suffering will come. We have also committed one mistake, and that mistake is that we have taken seen as real. We have taken drishya as real. And that is the cause of our sorrow. Real means what? Real means this drishya will remain as it is throughout my life. And that is what we always do. My house should be intact for 100 years, so long I live. Or should be good enough for my second, third, fourth generation also. or my health should be, my youth should be remain as it is. Even we have crossed apachyate. I should not say no. When the apachyate comes, then people start dying their hair. They want to remain young, at least to show people that we are still young. But that is not true. Apachyate. So this we have taken seen as real because of our ignorance. What is ignorance? What is avidya? Avidya is, I am not knowing this. This Atman is with me, but I don't know at this point of time. That is my ignorance. And what is vidya? Thakur Ramakrishna used to say, if you know your true nature, it is vidya. If you don't know this, it is avidya. It's your ignorance. And what is the purpose of the Shastra? The Shastra will tell you, you are that. You are that Atman. That Atman is Brahman alone. That is the purpose of Shastra. Ignorance is causing all sorrows. Why sorrows? Because we have taken the seen as real. It will remain as it is. But that will never remain like that. Because Prakriti is always changing and perishable. You cannot make anything of the world permanent. And our attempt is to make it permanent. That gives us the sorrow. What is the prayojan? What is the purpose of this book? The purpose of this book is to end this sorrow. Purpose of the book is to end this sorrow. How can you end this sorrow? Because we are identified with the changing and perishable things. Changing and perishable things will give you sorrow ultimately. Ultimately means when the thing will perish, it will not give you joy. It will give you sorrow. That is why Lord has said in Bhagavad Gita that this whole world is a dukkhalaya. Whole world is dukkhalaya. Why dukkhalaya? Because the whole world is changing and perishable. It will give you sorrow when it perishes. End will come. So where can I get the permanent sukh? In your own Atman. There is only one thing that is real, that is your Atman. We have to find out. And when we get that truth, that means the job is done. So identifying with the world made of matter will give you sorrow. Simple. There are only two things. One is Atman, and anything below that Atman, this is whole Prakriti. All sorrows are coming from this. BMI, PFT, OET. OET is world, Jagat. BMI is my body. PFT is your ego. So this is giving us sorrow, and this is Sachidanand. At this point of time, I am identified with BMI, I am identified with object, emotions and thought of the world. This is giving me sorrow. If I reach there, I will get Anand, Satchidanand. So identified with the changing and perishable world gives me sorrow. Disidentify, tell me, will there be any sorrow? There will be no sorrow. If you identified with this, permanent happiness. It's a perfect science. There are only two things. One gives you sorrow, other gives you sukh, permanent sukh. Both are available. Choice is yours. You want sorrow? Get identified with BMI, PFT, OET. Whole life you will get sorrow. Identify with this Atman, you will be Satchidanand, always happy. So the purpose is to end the sorrow. And how you can get this? by discrimination alone. Discriminate and get liberated. Discrimination you have to do. Discrimination between what? Different types of vivek we are doing. Like we have seen jad chetan vivek, atma anatma vivek, nitya nitya vivek, sarir taray vivek, panchakosa vivek, avasthatray sakshi vivek. You remember the definition of atman? So you are doing vivek there, na? You have to go beyond sthula, sushma and karan sarir. Sarirat. Sthula, sushma, karan, sarirat. Vyatirikta. Panchakosa atita. So you have to do the vivek. What is panchakosa? You have to know the panchakosa. You have to know the sthula, sushma, karan, sarir. And after knowing, then you have to falsify them. This is not atma. Gross body is not atma. Sushma body is not atma. Karan sarir is also not atma. Go beyond these three bodies. Whatever remains is atma. One way. Second way, panchakosatit. Annamaya kosh, pranamaya kosh, manomaya kosh, vijnanamaya kosh, anandamaya kosh. Cross. Do it. You get atman. Avasthatraya sakshi. He is not jagrat, he is not swapna, he is not supti, susupti avastha. He is the witness of all these three. So we have to reach the witness. So it is said, ekam satyam vipra bahudha badanti. By all these vivek, we are reaching one place only. Whether it is sat asat, nitya anitya, atma anatma, sarir traya vivek, panchakosa vivek, avastha traya sakshi. Different texts take up the different route but will take you to the same point. Ekam satyam, vipra bahudha badanti. Different routes are there. But you will reach at the same place. It is like different streams coming but reaching one ocean. All the rivers coming from different mountains, they are reaching one ocean. Similarly, all paths, like in Upadesar also, it was said, hissale mana. All paths of karma yoga, bhakti yoga, jnana yoga, the purpose is hritstale manah, the mind is to be absorbed in self. That is the purpose. If you don't do vivek, no liberation. You will remain in bondage. There is no other way out. We have to do the vivek. Who is the adhikari for this granth? The adhikari is said sadhan chatushtay sampanna. Sadhan chatushtay sampanna means you have to have fourfold qualification. First is vivek. What is vivek? Nitya nitya viveka vastu. First qualification required that you should be able to discriminate between real and unreal. Nitya anitya viveka. Then next is vairagya. Vairagya from where? Vairagya means you don't want anything of this world. Why? Because they give you temporary only. Whole life I am trying to get the sukh. We get little bit sukh, but we are not getting permanent happiness. Haven't we tried whole life to get the sukh from the unreal things? We are not successful. So you have to have vairagya from all this. People are doing, nahi, humko swarg mein sukh milega, so I am doing this yagya and that yagya. There also, chine punne martaloke visanti, you will come back. Do vivek, what I am doing. Again you have to come back. Vairagya, then sat sampatti, sam dam. Very good. Very good. What is this sat sampatti? These are all inner wealth. It's not the outer wealth. With the outer wealth, you can buy things of the world. With the dollar, you can buy anything of the world. But with those dollars, with that money, you cannot buy realization. For getting the realization, you must have this sadhan chatushta, sat sampatti, some control of mind, dham control of senses, uparam withdrawal from the world, titicha forbearance, shraddha, you must have faith in the scripture and the guru. Whatever the scripture is saying, it is correct. I may not be able to understand now because my intellect is not that clear or developed. But we should have faith that whatever the scripture is saying, it will take me to that point. That much faith we must have. Shraddha, samadhan, chitta ekagrata. If you have all these things, then you will have the concentration of mind. And the fourth sadhana chatushta is mumuchyutam. Overall, you must have an urge that I want to get liberated. If you are happy in the world, then there is no need of coming on this side. Stay there. Mumuchyutam, I want permanent sukha. That is required. In society, we find three types of people. One is ignorant, second is realized jnani, and third is the seeker. Ignorant don't require this shastra. They will not come and study. They are happy in the world. Realized also don't require shastra because he has reached there. Only the seeker requires the shastra. Who is a seeker? He is traveling from the state of ignorance to the state of realization. He's taking the journey. What should be the path? That is decided by the shastra tells you whether you are fit for karma yoga or a bhakti yoga or jnana yoga or hatha yoga. It's a scientific analysis. Depending on mind and intellect. Depending on mind and these are two variable things. And there can be only four types of permutation and combination. What is the difference between me and you or in other person? Gross body is same. Atman is same. Gross body is made of Pancha Mahabhut. It may be the difference is in the akar, in the color or in the shape or in the size, that is different. But the material is one and the same Pancha Mahabhut. Atman, one and same. Where is the difference? Mind and intellect. And this, with this variation, mind and intellect, there can be only four combinations. Now you remember? Predominant mind, predominant intellect, mind and intellect equal, mind and intellect not developed. Can you suggest the fifth? No. The person who has got developed predominance of mind, he will go bhakti marg because he is emotional. Predominant intellect will go for jnana marg. He will ask questions only. Why you are doing aarti? What is the purpose? Why are you showing incense? Why you are doing this thing? Why padyam? Why argyam? Why achmaniyam? Every time why? He has to come to the scripture. And those who has got equal mind and equal, sometimes coming this side, some coming this side on the intellect side, for them is the karma yoga. And those whose mind and intellect are not developed, hatha yoga. So in our scripture we cover all type of people. But in other scriptures, they don't have like divisions like this. They say whatever is written, you have to follow, that's all. Whether that suits you or doesn't suit you, no choice. But we have got choice according to your temperament. One will take lead, other will support you. If you are a karma yogi, bhakti and jnana will support you. If you are jnana margi, then bhakti and karma yoga will support. It's not that only one will be there, other two will not be there. No. If jnan margi, bhakti and karma will follow, but the jnan will be main. Bhakti marg will be main, supported by karma yoga and jnan yoga. Karma yoga supported by jnan and bhakti. So all three will be there, but one will take lead. So seeker has to find out which marg, which path will suit him, and accordingly he should proceed. The adhikari should be arthi and samarthi. Arthi means he must be desirous of getting the liberation. First qualification, mumuchyutva must be there. Samarthi must be capable of understanding. The capacity must be there. So first thing, the desire, arthi, that I want to get liberated, arthi, samarthi, he must have the capability also to go ahead. Now we'll see the first verse, we'll read it.
Rupam drishyam lochanam drik.
Rupam drishyam lochanam drik.
Tadrishyam draktumanasam.
Tadrishyam draktumanasam.
Drishyadhi vrittaya sakshi.
Drishyadhi vrittaya sakshi.
Drigevanatu drishyate.
Together. Rupam drishyam lochanam drik. Tadrishyam draktumanasam. Drishyadri vrittaya sakshi. Drigevanatu drishyate.
Guruji writes, the student having approached and served the teacher with devotion, one day asks him to give the knowledge of the self, and the teacher thus commences his teaching. First thing, what a student should do? He has to come and serve Guru. How long? In Prashnopanishad it was said, 6 students came to the teacher and asked him question. Teacher said, you serve for 1 year, then ask me this question. The question is appropriate. If I know the answer, I will tell you. Very clear. If I know the answer, I will tell you. Now tell me, how many of you will serve that teacher? The service is required for tuning of mind. To bring your mind, you can understand the teacher can understand you. And after that the knowledge will flow. Rupam means form. Drishyam means seeing. Rup is the form, color, we see. These are all seen. Rupam, drishyam, lochanam drik. Who is the seer? Seen is the whole world of name and form. Rup, form. And that form has got color and name. Each form has a name. So all these drishya, who is the seer? It is said lochanam drik. Lochanam means your eyes are seer. So who are the seen? The seen are the whole world. All the objects of the world are name and form. They are seen. Who is the seer? I. Lochanam. Tadrishyam driktu manasam. Tad means that eyes. That eye, drishyam, now this is seen. First step what? All the objects of the world is seen by the eyes. Now eyes has become seen now, object. Draktu manasam, who is the seer? Manasam, mind is the seer. Objects of the world are seen by eyes. Eyes are seen by mind. Drishyadhivrittyah sachi. And what is in the mind? Vrittis, thoughts. Those thoughts are also drishya now. They have become object which can be seen. I have got angry thought, I have got positive thought, negative thought, different type of thought. I know. Who is the knower? It is says Sakshi, witness. He is the seer. Then it is said Drigeva Natu Drishyate. Drig Eva. Which Drig Eva? The ultimate drashta. Drig Eva. The which is said here Sakshi. Drigeva Natu Drishyate. You can never make him an object of perception. Na drishyate. Don't try to grasp that tattva by five organs of perception. Drigev natu drishyate. That Atman you cannot see. Cannot see means you cannot make him object. There is no Mangalacharan here. Normally we see in all texts there is Mangalacharan. But there is one word here which we can say, we can equate to Mangalacharan. That word is Sakshi. Sakshi is the name of the Lord. In Vishnu Sahasranam you will find Abhyah Purusha Sakshi Chetragyo Char Evacha. Sakshi is the name of Lord Vishnu. In Bhagavad Gita also it is said, Gati Bharta Prabhu Sakshi Nivasa Saranam Suhrida. So Sakshi is the name of the Lord. This is Mangalacharan here. From this, we will find four principles. What is Sakshi? Sakshat Ikshate is Sakshi. One who is seeing directly. In court cases we say, Sakshi, witness. Who is a witness? Who has seen the incident. That is called Sakshi. I have seen. If two people are quarreling, if an accident has happened on the road, somebody finds out who is the Sakshi. Oh, I am seen. What happened? Then he narrates, he has whatever he has seen. The four principles from this verse is, seer should be different from seeing. Seer should be different from seen. Seen is all the rupa and the seer is eyes. These are two different. Eyes are different from mind. Mind is different from sakshi. In four steps we are reaching the Atman. Seen can never illuminate the seer. First one, seer should be different from seen. Seen means whatever you see, drishya. They are two different always. Second principle, that the seen can never illuminate the seer. Objects of the world can't see eyes. Eyes can't see mind, mind can't see Sakshi. Principle number two. Principle number three, same thing can't be seer and seen simultaneously. Eyes can see the object, but eyes can't see itself. To see your own eyes, you have to see mirror. Otherwise, your eyes can't see itself. So, seer and seen can't become one simultaneously at a time can happen. And the knower or the seer, ultimate seer, has to be sentient, cannot be inert. And it must have a knowledge aspect. Knowledge aspect, ultimate seer is Sakshi. Who is that Sakshi? Is the Atmanan. And Atman is Satchit Anand. So that Atman, that Sakshi has got the Chit part, the part of knowledge. By that part only he can know. So inert things cannot see. The ultimate seer has to be sentient being. So four principles emerge. Number one, seer should be different from seen. It cannot be one. Second, seen can never emulate seer. Seen means one which is made object of seeing. They cannot see the seer. Objects cannot see eyes, eyes can't see mind, mind can't see Sakshi. Seer and seen cannot be one simultaneous. At a time, they cannot be one. Eyes are seer of the form, but it cannot become seen at the same time. Eyes can't see itself. And fourth is, ultimate seer has to be sentient being. That must have a knowledge power. What is vivek? Vivek comes from the dhatu vichit, prithak bhave prithak karnam, to differentiate between two things, two mixed up things, we have to differentiate. In our body, there are two things. One is the Atman and another is the matter. Both are mixed up. We have to differentiate between these two. Thinking properly means differentiating between mixed vrittis. Vrittis means different type of thoughts. If a person says, I am confused, a confused person means he is not able to differentiate between two thoughts. He is confused, he needs help. Arjuna was confused, he asked Krishna, help me, I am confused. What is my duty at this point of time, I don't know. Please help me. When you are not able to distinguish between your vrittis, then you are confused. So what is vivek? Vivek is a systematic, disciplined thinking. Systematic, disciplined thinking. In universities also we say, disciplines, I have done masters, which discipline? Then somebody says physics, chemistry. So what is the physics, chemistry discipline? It's a right systematic thinking in a particular way to reach conclusion. This is discipline. In spiritual line also, we need this systematic thinking. That is why vivek is needed. It is essential to know the truth, and you can reach that truth only if you do this vivek discrimination systematically. In right way, if you do, you will reach. In the first verse itself, the author has taken us to the ultimate truth. What we have to do? We have to do the Atman, Atma Vivek, or Drik Drishya Vivek. How can you reach that truth? The Vivek Chudamani says, Vastu Siddhi Vicharena Na Kaschit Karma Koti Bhi. Vastu Siddhi, Vastu means that truth. You can get the truth, Vastu Siddhi Vicharena, by Vichar only. There is no other way. Vastu siddhi vicharena. Na kaschid karma kotvi. Koti karma. Koti karma means 10 million karms if you do, you will not reach that vastu, not truth. what you can get by karma, by doing action. Four things. Utpadya. Utpadya means you can create something. Utpadya, new. Then, sanskarya, you can purify one something. Vikarya, you can modify something. And the fourth is, you can destroy something. You can't do a fifth thing by any action. Apply this on Atman. Can you produce Atman? Utpadya? No. Can you purify Atman? Sanskarya? No. Can you modify Atman? No. Can you destroy Atman? No. Now tell me, can you get Atman by karma? No. Therefore it is said, vastu siddhi vicharena, only by thinking, only by discriminating. Na kaschit karma koti bhi. Truth can be reached by vichar alone. How should we do the vichar? Next question. The vichar, it is said, prasiddhim anuvadena aprasiddhim nirupaniya iti. Prasiddhim means known. Aprasiddhi means unknown. You have to start your journey from known to unknown. First you have to know what is there. It is always, if somebody has lost his way, then he rings you up. What is your first question to him? Where are you now? So he will tell you, I am at this place, this place, this place, this interjection. Then after that you can guide him. Similarly, here also, prasiddhim anuvadena, from the journey of the seeker is from known to unknown. First you know this word, we have to explain all these things. Remember the definition of Atman by Shankaracharya? Sthula sushma karan sarirat vyatirikta. He will explain what is sthula sarir, sushma sarir, karan sarir, what is annamaya kosha, pranamaya kosha, manomaya kosha, vijnanamaya kosha. He will explain what is jagrat avastha, what is sapna avastha and what is susupti. Then he will tell what is satchitananda. He will explain that also. So he started from what is known to you, from the gross. Gross we see. So from this gross world, he will slowly to take you to the subtle world and will take you beyond the world. That is the way we have to follow. It is always from known to unknown we have to go. So prasiddhi, here also, what is the method followed? Whole world is seen. From seen, it is coming to the first stage, eyes. Next stage, subtle, to the mind. And from the mind, who is the seer of all the thoughts in the mind? Sakshi, Atma. Same thing is followed here also. Pasyati idrik. What is seen? How many things are there in the world? Only five. What are those? Sabda, sparsha, rupa, rasa, ganga. Only five objects. But if you ask anybody, he will not be able to make the whole list of the whole items of the world. But our Shastra says, since you have got only five organs of perception, so there are only five sense objects. In all, five. What is the process? Eyes are seeing the forms, they give the information, the stimuli to the mind, mind process it. And who is the seer of the mind? The seer of the mind is Sakshi. Next question is, what is the difference between Sakshi and organs of perception and the world? Objects of the world. What is the difference between Sakshi and all the sin? Ultimate Drashta and Drishya. Ultimate Drik and Drishya.
Drishya changes all the time.
You see, objects of the world are changing continuously. You are seeing one photo now, second time you seeing another photo, some another form, third one. Continuously it is changing. Coming to the eyes. Eyes also continuously changing. Mind, continuously thoughts are changing. All these are changing. But the ultimate Sakshi, not changing. The seer is one and same. Whether you are seeing this form or that form, the ultimate Sakshi is one. All are changing up to the mind. Why it is changing? All the things are changing. Why all these things are changing? All the scene, all the objects of the world, eyes, mind, these are changing. But the ultimate Sakshi is not changing. Why? Yes, because they are all made of five elements. Whole world is made of Panch Mahabhut. My eyes are also made of Panch Mahabhut. Mind is also made of Panch Mahabhut. But there is subtle and gross element, that is different, but made of Panch Mahabhut. And all Panch Mahabhut are changing. So these will have to change. Anything made of a changing material will inherit that quality. So they are changing. And the Sakshi is changeless. Drigev na tu drishyate. Drigev, the ultimate Sakshi, you cannot see in Kal Tray Api. In three period of time, you will never be able to see. Now, who is the seer of consciousness? Consciousness itself. But the Pratyachvadi scientists, the scientists, they don't believe in Atman. Why? Well, you bring it in my test tube. I want to see my test tube, then I will accept, otherwise I will not accept it. But how many Sakshis are there? One. But many people say no. Some people accept. Scientists don't accept there is consciousness. Sakshi is not there. But some say, okay, we accept, but we don't accept one Sakshi. We accept so many Sakshis. Sakshi number C, say consciousness is C. So this consciousness is being seen by C1. C1 is seen by C2. C2 is seen by C3. So there are many Sakshis according to some people. Our Vedanta says, if anything is seen, that is inert. You remember the formula? Whatever you see is inert. Drigev natu drishyate, and whatever is seen is all inert. It is matter. So if C is seen by C1, if consciousness is seen by consciousness number 1, and consciousness 1 is seen by consciousness 2, consciousness 2 is seen by consciousness 3, so they have become the object. So once they become object, there has to be inert. That is not acceptable. So it can never happen. It is said like, it is just like Vedato Vyaghat Dosa. Vedato Vyaghat means a dumb person is saying, I am dumb. Can't say that. Similarly, if the inert thing say that I am consciousness, no more inert. If C1 is seen by C2, so C1 becomes inert. If C2 is seen by C3, then C2 becomes inert. So ultimate consciousness is one only.
Seen can't see the seer. Seen can't see the seer. Seen means object cannot see eyes, eyes cannot see mind, mind cannot see Atman. In Kenopanishad it is said, na tatra chakshu gacchati, na vaag gacchati, na mano. Na tatra chakshu gacchati, you can't see it by your eyes. Na vaag gacchati, you cannot define that or describe that Atman or Brahman. Na vaag gacchati, na mano. Mind also cannot go there. Yad mansa na manute, you cannot grasp it with your mind. In Taittiriya Upanishad, it is said, yat vacho nivartante aprapya mansasa. Yato vacho nivartante aprapya mansasa. You cannot define that Brahman. Thakur Ramakrishna used to say, if you define Brahman, to Brahman will be defined. Jutha ho jayega. You cannot define. Aprapya manasasa, mind also comes back. How? When you reach that Atman, that means you have gone beyond your mind and intellect. Mind and intellect is no more available. How can you say this thing is Atman is like this? If you want to reach the truth, you have to go beyond mind. Thakur Ramakrishna used to give a beautiful example. A salt doll wanted to measure the depth of the sea. Went inside. Melted. Who will tell what is the depth of the sea? We perceive all objects of the world through our mind thoughts. And who is illuminating those thoughts? Sakshi is illuminating because it is the chit power. Once we go beyond mind, what will happen? Mind is no more there. So how can you perceive? How can you tell? How can you describe? You can't describe. Impossible. Salt doll has melted. You perceive by your eyes. In all your meditation, what you have to do, you have to close your all senses, you have to go beyond mind. You can never see him. Don't say that the mind cannot see the Sakshi, therefore Sakshi is not there. Never say that. You will never be successful by you will never be successful in grasping that tattva through mind. But through mind you have to reach. Mind is required. But mind can't grasp it. Through mind you can reach. Only one thing is sentient, that is that Atman. And everybody gets their sentiency from that Atman. Body is inert, mind is inert, intellect is inert, the whole world is inert. But if my indriyas are functioning, then it is because of that Atman. Somebody asks Raman Maharshi, can you show Atman? He said, yes. The thing by which this finger is moving, that is Atman. When that Atman is not there, when the subtle body is not there, this finger will not move. So in the first verse itself, author has taken us to ultimate truth. Verse number 2, 3, 4 are further explanation of this verse, which we will take up in our next class.
Purnasya Purnamadaya purnameva vasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Hari Om Sri Guru Bhavana. Hari.
We will not be meeting on next Sunday. Mm-hmm. We are going to Indiana. For no class next Sunday. We will continue thereafter, 14th.
Hari Om, thank you for coming.